There we go. All right, well, Sabbath blessings again. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us last night with your presence as well when we gathered. And please be with us today as well. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain, so that we can go forth and do what prophecy says your son's bride will do. We pray we are in that generation, Father. We don't know, but we do know what's coming next. And so thank you for blessing us with opportunities to share our faith with as many as possible so that so many more people can come into the truth. Let us go forth in the spirit of Elijah like John did in the old days. Please bless all the seeds that have been watered in us or in those that you send our way. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and all those that are in attendance here today. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen. Okay. Hold on a second here. There you go. All right. Let me see if I got, I don't know even what's wrong with this mic here. Let me see if I can fix the, does it sound all right? Am I loud enough and all that? Sounds like it because I can hear myself echoing in the other room. Okay. I want to welcome some of the new people down there, Angelica, Rudy, Sale, and Tommy. Sabbath blessings to you and everyone here. And if you want to read along with the study, scroll underneath the chat room and you'll see the study notes, and then underneath that you'll see the sermon notes. All right, so we left off on question number 6 last week. And that question is, when must we stop our ears and shut our eyes? And Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15 says, thank you, Brother Gorin. It says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Something like that is impossible to do when you go to a Hollywood movie. Just that one act alone. But anyway, I'm sure by reading that one verse, many of us have been convicted regarding certain avenues of temptation, if you will, that the enemy likes to place before us. I mean, how often have we taken or offered bribes to get out of difficult situations? I mean, any bribes can be described in all sorts of different ways. I mean, let's say you catch your sibling doing something you know is wrong, but you offer the sibling a way out of your telling mom and dad in a way that benefits you. That's what actually got me smoking when I was 9 years old. I caught my 16-year-old cousin. I just happened upon him. I just walked down behind the garage, and there he was having a cigarette. And so he insisted that I start smoking that day. You know, that was a different way of bribing. And he says, okay, now we've both smoked, and if you tell, I'll tell that you smoke too. So now both of us were in sin. but in that case, I was just 9 years old, but there's, you know, other situations too that Christians do that offer bribes and then the other accepts. As for stopping one's ears, how many of us have been tempted with gossip? And yeah, I'm aware that most men don't get into gossip. I mean, I can't stand it. I think it's a graphic waste of time, especially office politics, because that's office politics is nothing but gossip anyway. They just give it a fancy name, you know. Still doesn't matter. They're still talking about the guy that's sitting in the cubicle next to you or down the hall. So some guys do get into it without even realizing it. I mean, yeah, we don't care much about what someone said down the road about some other person down that road, but the minute a buddy who is a fellow worker or a classmate gets in trouble, Do we echo his plight so as to be the first one to offer it to others? Now, yes, I understand that most men don't pander to such things, and I'm not only pointing fingers at women, but everybody does it. I guess we're just wired differently when it comes to guys. Most guys don't get into it. But at least that's been my recollection or understanding. But I know my years as a boss or a supervisor or even as a business owner, how much I hated it when it would start up. Because I know it never ended up good. It was always a problem. There's always some kind of an issue, especially when it's in a small office, because you got to work with these people. It's not like it's Mabel down the road that said something that Beatrice didn't like to hear, and so they could be blocks apart, and they don't really see each other. And if they do in the store, they just give each other a sneer. But you got to work with these people, and that's why I couldn't stand it, because you got to sit there and play the referee half the times, and sometimes it got bad, where literally you had to play like a referee in a boxing ring. But I've seen some guys do just like the women do, and therefore I could see how 1 Timothy 5:13 would apply to them as well, which says they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. That's what the Lord calls gossipers, busybodies, in everybody else's business, speaking things which they ought not. So as far as I'm concerned, gossip has proven itself time and time again to be the devil's communication network among the people. We all need to learn to stoppeth the ears, as it says here, when gossip starts to flow from those around us. And even in a, and especially in a church, because Matthew 18 is pretty clear. If someone in the church has an issue, you go to them one-on-one. You don't broadcast it from the rooftops. If you do, well, guess what? Someone's got to do Matthew 18 on you because you just committed a sin in front of everybody. And when it comes to shutting your eyes to evil, well, we all know it's the end times, and we all know how the devil knows his time is short. And so that being said, is it any wonder that we have TV, computers, cell phones, and tablets at our disposal at every moment of the day? I mean, a TV, back when I was a kid, was this big appliance in the living room that Dad only turned on. Now you can have a TV in your hip pocket, or better yet, you can have one wearing on your, like on a wristwatch, like Dick Tracy. He had that two-way radio wristwatch with the, like, it was like Skype on his wrist. That was back in the 50s and 60s when that comic strip came out. And so kind of lends credence to what some of the ex-military friends of mine say when they says, yeah, you think you guys got amazing technology here. You got to see what's going on in the military. They're always 20 to 30 years in advance of what the general public has. Because once it gets to a point where it's just old technology, they release it, I guess. I don't know what they do, but they somehow allow the manufacturers to put the prototype into the factories. So, but thanks to high-speed internet today, all of us have access to things we should not be looking at daily. And praise God, most of us don't, because we know what time it is. But still, it is here where Satan loves to roar and roam across the land, seeking who he can devour. And it's no mistake that, like, say you're, surfing the internet and you're looking for stuff. And if you don't have an ad blocker, and I suggest you get one, and you actually get do the parental lock, well, you might have an issue there if you got a D-Link router. If you have a D-Link router, don't turn on the parental lock, because D-Link routers have the Great Firewall of China in them, and that firewall makes Christian websites like mine pop up as terrorist organizations. So if you put on parental controls using a D-Link router, depending upon the year it was made, my website, you'll never be able to get to it. But for those of us that may have issues in certain areas, get yourself an ad blocker and then turn on parental control. It makes it that much easier to avoid the temptation when the articles aren't. See, that's why I never, and Daily Mail has some amazing articles sometimes, and it's well-researched and stuff like that, but I never use them. Because I know the dangers of what they put in the, well, next to the articles. And I don't know why they do that, but it's just, that's today's world. It's an amazing article. It's got some pretty good information. I might just copy and paste or something like that one of these days and build my own little archive. Because that is annoying. But the thing is, I don't want to clog my server as well. But the thing is, they have these articles that are interesting. And on the right, it's all Hollywood on the right. And you know what Hollywood means. There's not going to be a lot of clothing. And so young guys that have an issue in that area, or girls, I'm not going to tempt them. I'm not going to put it out there. You know, because ad blockers won't stop that. That's built right into the HTML of the, well, I think they use PHP, but still, it's in there. It's not blockable. It's part of the structure of the page itself. There's a difference between a pop-up and a pop-under. So the lust of the eyes are a favored playground of hell, and we've known this, especially those of us that had issues in these areas. Everything from violent movies to porn has caused many a man and many a woman to lose their salvation over the years, and now that we are very near the end, Beelzebub has placed his favorite weapons in the hands of almost every soul on earth. You know, it's actually like being on a battlefield wherein we are all being tempted to grab hold of an enemy grenade or booby trap everywhere we turn. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand we are at war. And unless we stand firm in the truth, the lies and the putrid temptations of hell will overcome us just like a bullet coming out of nowhere. And we're going to be found dead on the battlefield when our commander, Jesus Christ, returns to grant us an eternal furlough in the promised land. So, we are at war. We can't kick back. Even when we get, like, you know, a little bit of downtime, you know, like R&R, you know, like when you get your dry spells and stuff like that, or he doesn't have a lot of work for you to do, say, for like a month or two, it doesn't mean you go out and party hardy. It's just giving you time to recoup. Because these attacks can get pretty intense. And when that latter rain starts falling, and especially when the plagues start falling, and you're, let's say you're part of that Gideon band, praise God that you had the character of Christ to be able to receive the rain so that when those plagues fall, you'll have, you know, the ability to stand firm. But still, just getting up to that day, some of us are going to be tested and tried to make sure we can get through that day. And that's, it's not an easy row to hoe, but it's part of what we want because we want to be part of that number. So. All right, so question number 7. Yeah, I just noticed the text chat's moving kind of quick. We're in study. Yeah, let me just I'll clear it real quick. So anyway, number 7. How did Job control his eyes? You know, because this one section could be a sermon on its own. I mean, Job chapter 31 verse 1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, I made a promise. You know, not many today, men or women, can make such a covenant or a vow with God. But some have, because it is clear what the word is saying when it comes to this kind of, you know, commandment number 7 thing. You can commit adultery with your eyes without even talking to the opposite sex. So it has become clear that the world is going to use everything they can to entrap men and even women of God. Satan loves to put in front of our eyes all sorts of things that weaken the faith and even draw us into sin. And I mean, he did it with Jesus at the end of his 40 days. You know, show him all the kingdoms of the world, or even tempted him through the flesh in regards to the bread. You know, turn the stones into bread. He says, if you are the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. I mean, Satan knew that. I mean, well, Jesus, of course, knew it, but Satan knew it. I mean, he was there when Jesus got baptized. He heard that voice. And even if he didn't hear the voice, like half the people there heard the voice, but the other half only heard thunder. So even if he didn't hear that voice, he knows what was going down in heaven before he fell. It's one of the reasons he rebelled. So he knew who Jesus was. Getting Jesus to acknowledge his question in regards to saying, if you are the Son of God, getting Jesus to prove it would mean, hey, I'm pandering to your doubt. That just ain't happening. But some are weak in the faith, and we can be drawn into sin like that. I mean, today it's not just a pretty maid walking up to tempt us on the rare occasion. Today, that pretty little maid shows up on every TV, computer, monitor, cell phone, and tablet, or even newspaper, magazine, and billboard all over the world. Another reason to get out of the cities. You know? I mean, the last time I was in the city, you know, when I used to live out there and work out there, let's see, 10 and 20, this would be, 25 years. 20, 25 years, something like that. I know it's over 20, it's because I've been keeping Sabbath for 21. And we had already, so it's 21 years and 6 months that we since we left the city area. And that's over 20 years ago, and some of the billboards on 294 headed to Chicago. It's ridiculous. I mean, the lack of clothing, it's just, I mean, and tempt you in any way they can. And or the big giant bottles of Cutty Sark or Seagram 7 or Jack Daniels. I mean, all this booze all over the place. And then, of course, the cigarettes. They were advertising cigarettes every time you turned your head. It was still legal back then. Yeah, so Satan's been using this method to draw men into sin for eons. But today it shows his hand in that he knows his time is short. He's gone off the chart. I mean, they literally use sex today to even sell everything from candy bars to cars. Can you imagine that? I mean, come on already. It's a car. How can a car be sexy? And why did he got to do what you do with those candy bars on camera? It's a candy bar. A person's going to like it or not. But they'll do that because it sells. And it's not just porn or things of that nature. I mean, for example, Goliath was 9'2". And David was a ruddy little youth, according to Scripture, without armor, no spear, and still an untrained youth as well in fighting, who had no idea on how to fight in battle, let alone against a man trained from his youth with many dead men to his record. And he's 9'2". But did you notice that not only did Satan use Goliath to try and tempt David to fear, which he failed on, of course, but he used the eyes of every soldier and even the king to see Goliath as an unbeatable foe. So much so that David's own brothers were used by Satan to say, oh, you know what you're here, you just want to see the battle. And the king said, you know, put on my armor. You can't do this alone, you're too small. I mean, left and right they were telling him he can't do it. Just like people in our lives. In different aspects, of course, but this, you know, it's the same temptation. We all need to make a covenant with our God, not to sin with the eyes. And again, it's not just the pretty little maid that Job was speaking on here. Today it can be the shiny new car in your neighbor's driveway that tempts you to upgrade and then go into massive debt just because you want to keep up with the Joneses. And it's not just the new movie that just came out on DVD that you can watch in the privacy of your own home where none of your Christian brothers and sisters see you doing it. That will lead into many different types of sins. Everything from, you know, commandment number 7 to commandment number 6. Because, yeah, you can commit murder in your heart. The villain in the movie will make you hate him. And so now you're hoping that he gets killed. And then when he does, you have joy. You broke commandment number 6. And it was just an actor. Which, by the way, means, in definition, a professional liar. Which means Satan is entertaining you. It's amazing. You know that the sexy skirt that causes every man that sees you to sin by breaking commandment number 7. You know, because girls, this is what I really feel for young ladies that wear the clothing the way they do. Sometimes they don't realize how many, especially if they're pretty, and they can literally, like, say they work in a loop. Because I used to work in a loop, which Chicago's Loop it was called because of the looping of the L train. They got the loop and they got the L. It's just really ridiculous. But you know, just going from the parking garage where I went, it was like 2 blocks to the office. In that time, you could see 100 people. And I was just on Washington. If you go on State Street, double or triple that, because State Street is where all the shops were. I'm coming in on the back doors. And so, you know, 100 people, well, let's put her on State Street. Let's say she is walking up and down State Street. Minimum, out of the 300 people, 150 of them are going to be guys, right? 50-50? So she just got 150 men to break commandment number 7 in their hearts. just by her clothing. And they don't even realize it. And they're not going to be held accountable, of course, until they do realize it. And then when they do, see, there's where the devil gets you, especially with the ladies. Let's say they become a Christian, and they realize what, you know, wearing that kind of clothing is wrong. But then they just can't stop, because it's just the way they've been known. See, this, it's a little more difficult, I think, for women at times than it is for guys, because guys never had an issue in that area, you know, with the kind of clothing. Well, unless you're muscled up and, you know, you want to show off all that stuff, but still. With some women, it's kind of like, you know, throwing the seeds among the rocky soil, because they realize they can't put on the painted on clothing anymore. And when they do, they know for a fact they're committing iniquity. If they come to that realization, I'm saying, you know, conviction. And, you know, some come day one, some come day 101. It just all depends. Or look at the name brand gym shoes that tempts you to beam with sinful pride while at the same time tempt your friends to envy. I remember a few years ago, and I think they're still doing it now, in the Chicago area, which is, you know, the pinnacle of hypocrisy when it comes to political lies and gun control. Yeah, and you know I'm not an advocate for guns or, you know, with or without guns. It's the law of the land, you know. You have the right to arm yourself, and that's everybody's right. I just choose to allow the Lord's hand to move, because it's a lot scarier than a gun for somebody that wants to do something foolish. But it's, you know, Chicago is the you know, the nation's capital when it comes to the amount of deaths by gun. And yet we got, or they have, I don't live there anymore, but they have the strongest gun laws there. And they've even got those robots that when a gunfire goes off, the robot zips and points right at the noise. Because you can't run faster than that camera can turn after you pull the trigger. It's going to get your picture, or at least the car you were in. And they're on telephone poles. They're about 20 feet off the ground, and they're bulletproof, too, because, you know, they're going to try to get those things down. And yet, it's still not working. But I remember years ago reading about this, and I'm sure they're still doing it now. Some of the young kids were getting killed, literally getting blown away, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, getting blown away because they've got Nike shoes. And the guy that's got the gun wanted the shoes. Or a Nike jacket. I remember that, because I remember reading about it. It says the kid was killed because he wore a jacket. And it wasn't because it was any specific color, you know, the gang problem. It was a jacket the other guy wanted because it was a brand, it was like Christmas time, and he got it from his parents. And he was out there wearing it at school, and he was killed for it. So the other kid can get the jacket. It's the last days. And absolutely every method to lure men into sin will be used against us, whether it's pride or desire of what someone else has. So again, we all need to make the same covenant Job did. In the areas where you got your problems, you know, ask the Lord to help you, of course, but eventually get on your knees and make a vow. But still, at the same time, be very, very careful. Read up in the scriptures in regards to the vow and how it's better not to make one if you know you're going to break it. So be very, very overwhelmingly careful with making vows to the Lord. You know, I mean, the best thing that I would think would to do is just promise him for a year you're not going to do it. And at the end of the year, you can make the vow easily by then. If you can get through that year, you know, and yes, today's world is different and the tools of hell are displayed everywhere. But my Bible still says the God I worship is the same one that Job did. And seeing how it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And we know Jesus said he would send his comforter so as to be with us always, even until the end of the world, according to John 16:17 or 7 and Matthew 28:20. Then we see, as a people, striving on to that perfection, that he did in fact promise us that we can attain that perfection that is literally placed on a silver platter of promises at this very moment, right before each and every one of us. We can get there. But if we're going to pander to all that the devil puts before our eyes, we're never going to make it. We're just never, ever going to get there. Now, let me see if I can do one more. This one's kind of short. Yeah, we got 6 minutes left. See, number 8, what did David resolve? And it says Psalm 101 verse 3. Thank you again, brother. And it says, I will send no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, rather. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You know, before I became a Christian, I was easily swayed by those things that were placed before my eyes, as all of my friends and relatives were as well. I mean, you know, I was Roman Catholic, and everybody I knew was Catholic, and it was just a lifestyle. And plus, I had a even more intense lifestyle with the kind of friends that I had and the things that I was dabbling in. I don't want to get into that, but I mean, you could expect what I'm going to say. So that after I started walking with Jesus, that I saw the danger in all this, as the Holy Spirit made it very clear that such things are deadly to the soul. But what I would like to touch on here is how David says he not only hates the work of those that do such things, he also declares it won't cleave to him. So what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, before I met Christ, I can recall how excited I would get when I would find a party or a new bar that had all the bells and whistles, and especially the pool tables. That, I mean, I would get excited. I can't wait to get in there. I actually had a giddy happiness deep inside when such things came to be. But now I can see how David says he hates the work of those that do such things. What I used to love and actually get excited about now, or, you know, back doing this, is now something that I really, truly hate and loathe deep inside, because I know where it all led. I actually get like an anxiety, like if I was to think that, would I have to go in there to help this person or that person? I don't think I would want to go in there. I would literally get scared. And the reason I would get scared is because I know I'm going in there all on my own, because my father don't want me going in there. And if he don't want me going in there, guess who else is not going in there with me? That hedge of angels that I always ask for protection, because I always pray for the hedge of angels to be upon me. And my guardian angel, you know, he's not going to be walking in there. If I go in, I'm going in on my own. But the cleaving that David speaks of here is even more profound, in that after asking Jesus to truly be my Lord, I was no longer magnetized or drawn to such evil acts like I used to be. Yes, on occasion the devil would paint the sin in a different light to try and make the excitement return, but it never did. For case in point, like many of you know, I used to shoot pole. And after I became a Christian, I, you know, moved away from the city and all this other stuff, and I had this one company that I was working for in this one small town. And sometimes after work, I would stop by this one pool hall for half an hour, and shoot some stick. And the only reason I would go in there is because of the fact that there was no swearing allowed, no smoking allowed, and no gambling allowed. It was a family billiard. It was an old couple that ran it. Actually, an old woman. I guess her husband died, and she ran it. Only problem is in the back room where the kids weren't allowed. They had all these gambling machines, and but they were all penny. But still, they were gambling, you know, those poker machines. And so I would go there. And after, I don't know, a month or two, word got out that there was a guy that no one could beat. And I'm not trying to brag on that. What I'm getting, my point is, the devil actually sent people from the neighborhood bars. And they came in there and says, look, you need to come and shoot over here. Some people want to shoot you. I says, yeah, that's scary sounding. But I said, no, I don't gamble. I don't do this at all. And some of them stayed there, and they says, well, you want to shoot a game? I says, yeah, sure. And of course, played my game. And then a week or two after that, the Lord revealed to me that I would lose the love of the game. And I actually walked into the pool hall one day, and I told some of the guys, because the teenagers used to come there when I would go there, because I would pay for their games. Yeah, a quarter. You know, teenagers don't have any money. And I play them too. And I said that, the Lord revealed to me last night that I'm going to lose the love of the game. And they all started laughing. I says, what are you laughing at? I says, you'll never leave. You're here, you know, 3-4 times a week. I was shooting because I loved the game. I loved it. I've been playing that game since I was a real small kid. And, about 2 weeks later, I was bored with it. Literally, I couldn't believe. It's just like when I quit smoking. It was like all of a sudden I was a non-smoker. And I think about a month or two later, they shut that place down, which is perfect timing, I think. But he really does answer your prayers, because I, you know, the temptation was there, but it wasn't there, because they asked me to go to those bars and shoot, because the way I used to do, that's how I literally paid my bills at the, well, I was a young man, I didn't really have any bills, but it got me gas and cigarettes when I would shoot stick or anything else, like if I got a couple extra bucks. And so I knew that lifestyle, and I knew there was a reason these people came in there, and they wanted to shoot, because these were the tournament players in the area, and I wasn't going to do it. And that wasn't even tempting to me, and I praise God, because I can understand what David's saying here. It didn't cleave. He's like, oh, man, I can't wait to get in there, you know, because, you know, I miss it. I haven't done it. And so, no, that wasn't even there. It was gone. And then, yeah, and then not long after that, I had that revelation, if you will. And 2 weeks after that, it was over. And I mean, I still have my sticks, but they're just, and I never even used them, because you don't want to bring a stick in if you're going to play a game. People are going to think you're a hustler. So anyway, I hope and pray that you are blessed, because this, it can be tempting at times, but look a little deeper when the temptation comes, and you're going to see that the Holy Spirit is very much alive in your heart, nudging you towards the righteousness you strive onto. You're going to see it. It's there. If you really and honestly try and stop all the little idiosyncrasies and the character flaws that you have in your life and literally let him guide you and say, look, you're a little rough here, a little rough there. And as you go through that and these big temptations or small temptations come, you're going to see. It's like, wow. I mean, Fran and I were just talking about it again. We talk about that, I don't know how many times over the years. It's like, yeah, he's, like we always say, he's kicking it up a notch. I mean, it's just like things are really, really getting different. It's kind of like, see the clouds moving in. It's going to start raining soon. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about on Wednesday nights, you know, the latter rain. So the very fact, you know, deep inside such things are wrong to do, you know, where in the days gone by you saw nothing wrong in those such things. Now it confirms his Holy Spirit is doing exactly as he promised. So let him. I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.